Kof Zayin Mar Cheshvan, Monday the 9th of November, Rabbi Yossi Goldberg, The Jewish Spark.
Good morning. I was fortunate last night to participate in a fantastic, most beautiful event, which is the Shasathon, which was for time. I must tell you, the whole thing was really inspirational. To sit an entire day and learn through your selected Gemara piece, and then join with everybody else and make a Siyum HaShas on the end of that day, was indeed very inspiring. But one particular moment for me that was most inspiring was, of course, the dancing. To join hands, so many different types of Yidden, Chassidim, Litvaks, Yekkers, the young, the old, all dancing in one circle, in the honor of Torah, and in the joy of Torah, that was something, the achdus of it, the unity of it, was something very inspiring. And it brought to mind something of more recent nature, which was also an event of achdus and of unity in Klal Yisrael. And this was known worldwide as the Shabbos Project, or in the UK it was more the Shabbat UK. Thousands of people across the world were inspired to keep Shabbos, or to be mechazik in Shabbos, on that particular Shabbos. It was an act of unity, it was achdos, it drew everyone together. A taxi driver, totally unaffiliated, non-religious taxi driver, told my mother that he was buying a hot plate just so he should be able to keep that Shabbos. I'm sure many of you are familiar with your own stories of people who push themselves that extra mile to keep Shabbos that week. And it makes one wonder, what is it about Shabbos? What is it about the mitzvah of Shabbos that it had this ability to ignite the hearts of even those unaffiliated, those far out? On Friday night, we sing in one of the Zmirois, Nachlas Yaakov Yirosh, Beli Mitzorim Nachlo. He will inherit the portion of Yaakov, which is limitless, without any borders, without any end. And this is taken from a Gemara. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Kol hama'anig es ha-Shabbos, zoiche le-nachlo beli mitzorim. Anybody who has oinig on Shabbos, he inherits this great portion, beli mitzorim, limitless, with no borders, endless. And we learn it from a pasuk that talks about Yaakov Avinu. Oz tis'anag al Hashem, nachlas Yaakov Avir, the pasuk in Yeshaya tells us. That when a person is mis'anag al Hashem, the pasuk ends off, nachlas Yaakov, he gets the inheritance of Yaakov. And just to join up the dots so we're clear on this Gemara, in what way does Yaakov have nachla b'li mitzorim? Because Yaakov was given the bracha of a foratzta, yoma, vakedma, v'negba. All four directions Yaakov was given the bracha, he will spread. And therefore his portion that he was promised is in all directions, limitless, without an end. Just a final dot to join up. Why has this got to do with Shabbos? Because in the pasuk before that pasuk in Yeshaya, it talks about Shabbos. In Toshiv Mishabbos Raglecho, Asois Chafeitzecho B'yom Kochi, V'koroso L'Shabbos Oineg, Koroso L'Shabbos Oineg, if you have Oineg on Shabbos, the next pasuk tells us of Nachlas Yaakov. So this is where the basis for the Gemara is, that someone who's ma'anig the Shabbos, He zoichel nachlo b'li metzorim, as we learn from Yaakov Avin. But then we have to understand what's the significance of Yaakov Avinu. That he is the one of the avos that is chosen to be the one who we learn from, kol ha'aniges ha'shabbos, zoichel nachlo b'li metzorim. Meaning, what is significant about Yaakov that we relate Yaakov together with Oynig of Shabbos? In Shmiras Shabbos, the Chofetz Chaim tells us that there are two levels. Kol Mekadesh Shvi Koroi Loi. The high, most exalted level of Shmiras Shabbos is someone who's Mekadesh the Shabbos Koroi Loi, as it is befitting for Shabbos. And then, Chol Hashoyim Shabbos Kados Mechaleloi. Someone who keeps Shabbos, Kados, according to Din, according to the Halacha, Mechaleloi, he's not Mechalel Shabbos. Make no mistake, says the Chofetz Chaim. Schoroi harbe ma'oid. Anyone who keeps Shabbos in either of these two fashions gets a reward that's tremendous. But it's alpi pa'oloi. It is according to his input. It is according to his work. Meaning, Mekadesh Shvi Koroi Loi means that a person goes that extra mile. It's not just keeping the halachas of Shabbos, but it's allowing the Shabbos day to internalize into his very being, to inspire him on a very penimius liquor, a very innermost level. And thus he enjoys the extra long tfilos, he enjoys the singing of the smirois by the Shabbos table, he enjoys the atmosphere, the ruach of Shabbos, which is perhaps more than just someone who keeps the halachas of Shabbos. I once commented, I don't know if I'm right, that the Zemer, which Chofetz Chaim quotes, goes even further according to these two groups. Ish al machanehu ve ish al digloy. Which means that the person who makes Shabbos into a real event, he has much more of a grand Shabbos. He's like by a machane, he's by a camp. His Shabbos table is not merely a few people around the table, but it is a camp. It is a ruach of Yerushalayim, a ruach of Kirvas Hashem. And Ish al Digloy means a man who keeps Shabbos, stands with his flag, says, I keep Shabbos. It's much more toned down. Of course, it's wonderful and it's valuable that a person should keep Shabbos kehalocha. But it doesn't come near the input, it doesn't come near the level of the Mekadesh Shvi Koroi Loi. If we wanted to say this in our own words to be clearer, we could say that someone who keeps Shabbos just on the halachic level is keeping Shabbos in a more of a chitzoni way, which means outwardly he's doing exactly what is right. Someone who's able to reach in and to be Mekadesh Shvi Koroi Loi, that means it is really touching his innermost penim. It's in touching his real inside, his real neshama. And in fact, the Radak in Yeshaya points out that the point of Oynig Shabbos, the physical element to Oynig Shabbos, is indeed to help a person reach inside. As the Radak says, Mitzvah asay le'anig haguf b'yom haShabbos. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah asay to enjoy, for the guf to enjoy the Shabbos, b'macholim areivim v'toivim, with really good food, good cholent, good kugel. It's a mitzvah asay. Says the Radak, because by making Shabbos into this more enjoyable day than the rest of the week, through enjoying the Shabbos in a physical way, a person is able to have the menuchas hanefesh, the menuchas haguf, the peace of mind, to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to think about the chesed Hashem, and to come closer to Hashem. So we see therefore that Shabbos is this gewaldige yoyim mesugel for a person's pnim, for a person's innermost neshama to be ignited so easily. Give him a plate of kugel and a plate of cholent and peace of mind. No malacha, no thinking about work of the week. And there you have the access point for the person to allow himself to be inspired on a very panemistic level. But maybe one will say, fair enough, for somebody who lives all the time as an Elah Chayid, someone who's Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and he always serves Hashem with this great deep connection to Hashem. Okay, so when it comes to Shabbos, we understand that Shabbos should be the one, should be the access point of allowing this person to have his inside connection to Hashem, the Pnim, ignited. But what about those that are unaffiliated? Those that perhaps have layers upon layers that are blocking their inside from simply being connected to Hashem. Do they have a chance? Is it easy for them too? The Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Kineir Hashem Nishmas Odom. The neshama of a person is called a ner, a candle, a flame. What is unique about a flame? A flame, for it to be noticed, can be noticed in one of two ways. You can see its light in a dark room. Ma'at min ha'oir, doich ha'ab min ha'choshech. Everybody notices the flame giving light. But what if the flame is buried beneath layers and you can't see the light? But the flame can burn through. Which means the neshama of every single yid is there deep down as a flame. For some, it's bringing light. And we can see from his behavior always that he's keeping the Torah and he has a connection to Hashem. But there are others who have layers that make their light not so easily seen. But we don't give up hope on those yidden because the flame of the neshama is there and will burn through. There's a moel that I know who does brisois in sometimes strange circumstances. But he never refuses a call. A short while ago, he got a phone call from a lady. And she says on the phone, I'm Jewish, but I'm married to a goy. But I really want my son to have a bris. It's very important to me. Would you be able to come round? So arranged a day and a time. And he comes to the door with his son, the moel, and his son comes to the door. And strangely, when the woman answers the door, she seems a bit disturbed, not so at peace with herself. She says, come inside. She sort of shushes them into the front room. And then she says, you know, I'm really, really sorry. But my husband will not let that bris happen. He hasn't spoken to me since the baby was being born because he's so upset about it. And then she said, and it's not fair because I made a precondition that this child, be it a boy, will have a bris. And right there and then, she burst out crying. And the moel and his son are standing there astounded. A lady who's married to a goy. Averus Doraisa, she's definitely dumb. And here she's standing crying tears that her son should have a bris milah. Kineir Hashem Nishmas Odom. It's true that sometimes the Neir Hashem, the Neshama, is not giving light. But it's there and it will burn through. Rav Chaim Valozhina was learning Tono Deve Elio, and he came across one of the praises that Tono Deve Elio writes about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he writes, Ezehu Oshe HaSomeach B'chelkoi, Hashem is Someach B'chelkoi, Hashem is happy with his lot, is happy with his portion. And Rav Chaim Valozhina says, one minute, this doesn't make any sense. For a normal human being, mortal man, who's limited in what he has and in what he's able to do, we understand that when the Mishnah in Ovis tells us, Ezehu Oshe HaSomeach B'chelkoi, that is a person who's happy with his lot, who's happy with what he does have, he's an Oshe, despite what he may not have. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol HaOlam Lefanov is limitless. He's everything. He has everything, Kaviyochel. So what does this mean that Hashem is happy with his lot? And Rav Chaim Valozhina went running to his Rebbe the Gaon. And he said, tell me the pshat. What does this mean that Hashem is happy with his lot? Said the Gaon, you've got to understand what chelkoi we're talking about. What lot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're talking about. Ki chelek Hashem amoy. The chelek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his people. Explain the Gaon. As much as Hashem would love every single Yid to live lives shleimim, full of perfection in the Avodas Hashem, but ultimately that's dependent on every individual and on every individual circumstance. So Hashem cannot orchestrate that, so to speak. Therefore, says the Pasuk, Ki chelek Hashem amoy, the people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his portion, and Hashem is Sameach b'chelkoi. Hashem is happy with his portion. Even if a Yid does not achieve the greatness that Hashem would want him to, would have preferred him to, even if a person goes a little bit astray, but he's the chelek of Hashem still. And Hashem is Sameach b'chelkoi. Hashem is happy with his lot. I had a boy, a working boy, a few months ago, came round to my house, have a little bit of a chat. He was in yeshiva, he found it difficult, he thought he'd be better off working. And he's finding Yiddishkeit a bit of a struggle. And that's why he came for help. He wanted to be helped. He wanted to be nischazik in his Yiddishkeit. And in conversation, he told me the most fascinating thing. He said soon after he went to work, he wanted to buy himself the appropriate phone. He wanted to buy himself an iPhone. And everybody of well-meaning advisors all around him were telling him, don't go down that road. Because if you go down that road, you'll end up somewhere wrong. But he was determined. He wants this phone. And he assured everybody, you know what? I'm not even going to get a filter because I'm not going to go anywhere inappropriate anyway. But if I do go anywhere inappropriate, I will promptly get a filter. That's all he assured everybody. And unfortunately, as you can imagine, it didn't take very long and he found himself going in inappropriate places. But he didn't quite get the filter. And he related how he was standing one day in the Beis HaKisse. And his phone fell into the Beis HaKisse. And he said he stood there and he saw the message from Hashem. Now, we know electrical devices that come in contact with water, it sometimes can be difficult for it to work properly afterwards. He stood there and he said, Ribono Shel Olam, if my phone works properly, I will get a filter. He took the phone out and he turned it on and it worked, but only for half an hour. And he told me, I don't know this, but they say that if you do so, you've actually got less chance of the phone working long term. Because after half an hour, the phone went off. But he'd made a deal with Hashem. He put it in a bowl of rice for 1 week. After a week, he took it out and it worked. And he got himself the filter. Kichelek Hashem Amoy. Why? Ki Neir Hashem Nishmas Odom. His Neir Hashem, his neshama was there. And is still there. Just has to be given the opportunity and it will burn through. The Ponovitch Rov was learning a Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim tells us, Kol Shebiyam Tohu. A keli that's made out of material that comes from those animals that live in the sea is Tohu. Says the Mishnah, Chutz Mikelev Hamayim. Except for the kelev, the dog that lives in the sea. Why? Says the Mishnah, because that's not really a sea animal. Mipneishu b'yreach li'abosha. Kishaboim lotzud oisoi. When they come to trap him, when they come to fish him out, he manages to escape to the abosha, to the dry land. So he's not really called a sea fish. And when the Ponovitch Rov learned this Mishnah, he said, Gevalt! A yid can be out there in the yam, hataiva is out there in the yam. But if, when sorrows come to him, he runs to the abosha, he runs back to Hashem, he's not considered part of that sea. He's considered connected to Hashem. Ki chelek Hashem amoy. Ki ner Hashem nishmas odom. The ner Hashem burns through, the ner Hashem is a light in every single yid. So yes, now we understand. When Shabbos carries this opportunity, this easy opportunity to ignite a person's panim, to ignite a person's neshama, then that which we asked earlier, how does this come across, even to the unaffiliated? Of course we know the answer. Because every single yid has the neshama waiting to be ignited. But then the question arises, how does a person assure himself that he is on the path to be connected to his panim, to his neshama? What is the necessary ingredient? So if for a moment we take a look at two individuals in this week's Sedra, at Yaakov and Esav. The Medrash Zutta in Shir HaShirim tells us of the plan of how it was supposed to work out. He said, just as much as Yaakov was destined to have the Shem Hashem on him, so too was Esav. They were to play different roles, but Esav was supposed to be part of the deal. Esav, says the Medrash, was supposed to be Ma'amid Melochim, the kings of Klal Yisrael, and Yaakov was supposed to be Ma'amid the Kohanim. Leah and Zilpah were supposed to marry Esav, Rachel and Bilhah were supposed to marry Yaakov. And if that would have been the case, it would have been a happily ever after. A very different world to what we live in today. But that didn't happen. What went wrong? If you look in the Psukim and in Rashi, throughout the parasha, you see something remarkable about Esav. Vayhi Esav ben arboim shana. Esav was 40 years old, and he says to himself, my father got married when he was 40, so I'll also get married when I'm 40. Sounds like a righteous claim. Says Rashi, he's like a chazir, he's like a pig, who puts out their hooves pretending they're kosher, when really they're not. Esav spent 40 years taking other people's wives. Suddenly he turns 40 and he says, my father got married when he was 40, I'll also get married when I'm 40. He made himself into a grosser tzaddik, when really he was doing none of the sort. We find that when we describe Esav in the Pasuk as Ish Yodea Tzayid. Rashi says he knew how to fool his father. He would ask him all sorts of wonderful questions, which made him seem like a very big machmir in Yiddishkeit. But again, his behavior was far from that. And finally we get to the Pasuk, Vayigdlu Ana'orim, that Na'orim, the lads, grew up, they reached Bar Mitzvah age, and Rashi tells us, until that point, no one could see any difference. Rav Shlomo Sfadron is well known. He said Esau would walk around with a strammel and bekisha, just like Yaakov would. In the exterior, Esau looked like a real frum yid. But again, he was holding nowhere near there. Because Esau lived with sheker. And sheker means that a person is living just on the exterior. When Esau saw Yaakov make this soup, this lentil soup, what did he call it? Odoim, Odoim Azeh, this red thing. Vayikra Shmo Edoim is called red. Every time you have a red soup, you're called red. Why is Esau's name just changed? Because he wanted a red soup. Because what did Esau look at? Did he care about what the soup was? Did he care about the ingredients of the soup? That it was a lentil soup? Odoim Hazeh, it looks red, it is red. Aha, that's what Esau is all about. Exterior, red, you're called red. So if Esau is following this path of Sheker, this path of Ramos, and this path of exterior, everything's just about the exterior, there's no way he's going to access his penim, his neshama ha-tahira. And we see when Esau cried because he lost his brachas, he cried a big, great big cry, and he actually had tears. And Rabbi Lapian points out, this would have been impossible, that Esav would cry, unless there was something deep down. Esav cried because something was touched in his depth, in his real deep part of him in the neshama. But he never lived according to that. He lived b'sheker, he was thrown completely from the track. Whereas Yaakov, on the other hand, Yaakov was emes. Titein, emes li Yaakov, and therefore Yaakov was Torah. Because Torah represents the real neshama of a Yid. The neshama of a Yid is the chelik of Hashem. And as you know, Torah and Hashem and Klal Yisrael all have that common denominator. That depth, that neshama Torah of a Yid, it was brought out with Yaakov following being the Amud HaTorah. So if we can just wrap up. We began, why is Yaakov the one whom we refer to in relation to Oneg Shabbos? The answer is because on Shabbos, with Oneg Shabbos, as we said, we have the opportunity to get deep down, to connect to Hashem on a real deep level of the Pnim. And Yaakov represents, with his Midas HaEmes, this idea of connecting deep down to his Pnim by him being the Torah, by him being Amud HaTorah. And just to end off, with an unbelievable knetch. In what, according to what we've said, we could say there's two levels of Yiddishkeit. There's two levels of behavior of a Yid. You have the Kichelek Hashem Amoy, where Hashem is happy with a Yid, even if he's not the perfect person who's doing everything he can. He's somewhat limited in his Yiddishkeit. Kichelek Hashem Amoy. And then we've said that there's that aspect of the Shmiras Shabbos, of the behavior of the Yid, where he's exalted, where he reaches down to his Panim, and he lives according to how Hashem would prefer. It's one Pasuk. Ki chelek Hashem Amoy, Yaakov Chevel Nachalosoy. If on the one hand a person could just be part of the category of chelek Hashem Amoy, but if he chose to do so, he would be part of the exalted category of Yaakov Chevel Nachalosoy, of Nachlas Yaakov. Hashem should give us a siyata d'shmaya, v'tahe libeinu la'ovdecho be'emes. V'midas ha'emes, we should follow Yaakov Avinu, and be zoicha to be part of that category. Thank you.